Welcome back, Pod Squad. I don't know about you, but I find that the way I learn best is through storytelling and imagery, which I feel is the actual whole reasoning why I started Wicked Fearless. Because I was so interested in other people's stories and process of how they really ventured down the path and the journey of this thing we call life, where they trailblazed for themselves, where they went out on limbs, the plot twists along the way that led them to divine interventions that brought them to their full purpose and passion. And today's guest is super fun. She is a celebrity makeup artist and really somebody I just found on the internet, and I just really admire and I love her process and what she does as a celebrity makeup artist and really just marrying together beauty and wellness from the inside out of helping people show up and make them feel like the best version of themselves so then they can go out and serve in an even bigger way out in the world. So without further ado, here is today's guest, Alexandria Giglio. All right, Pod Squad. I have Alexandria Giglio on the podcast today. She is the founder and creator of My Zen Den Beacon, as well as a New York City, makeup artist extreme. You are the makeup artist to some of the who's who in celebrity, not only songwriting, musicians, like women's soccer team, athletes, Olympians. Like, you really have a roster that's like pretty insane. And I'm so excited to talk about that. And also, you're doing a whole offshoot with your business for weddings, which I just got married in May. So I'm so excited to kind of peel some layers back about that. Thank you. I am just so jazzed to have you on the podcast today and just peel some layers back. I have actually never had a makeup artist on, and a couple of my friends in LA are makeup artists, but I'm just so excited to soak up your goodness and hear some of the tips of the trade and what you have going on right now.
Well, I am so excited to be here and thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Heck yeah. So let's just talk about things. I don't know how old you are, Alexandria, but I am 34. And I know when I went to college, like these kind of cool jobs, I think your job's cool. So we're just going to say that, like being a SoulCycle instructor or being a makeup artist or being in this or being a fashion, that wasn't really the path that, I don't know, I was never given that think outside the box that I think is like pretty popular right now with this whole like Gen Z coming up through the ranks. So I'm kind of curious where you really like started and how that evolved a little bit.
Totally. So we are around the same age. I'm 33. Amazing. So not too far behind you, but I hated school. Like, school was so not my forte. I actually got kicked out of high school. And then I went to college for maybe like 2 days. And I just decided, you know what, this is so not for me. And at that point in time, like, that's what everyone was doing, right? You finish high school, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job. But for me, I was just like, I don't like to color in the lines. And I don't like to follow all the rules. So I wanted to do something creative. I wanted to do something different. I always loved art. I've always had a passion for beauty. So from there, I was kind of just like, what can I create where I got fired from a few jobs. Clearly this just whole following the rules and listening to other people just isn't working out for me. So what can I create that is fun and passionate and successful? So that's what led me into makeup at an early age.
Okay, let's peel some of those layers back. What, first of all, can you say what you got kicked out of school for? Well, like, were you just like, yes, not into it? Did you mouth off to teachers? Like, what are we talking about here?
Okay, so I was actually kind of a teacher's pet. Like, there was a part of me that really loved to learn, especially history and English. I loved writing and I loved reading and I loved learning about history, but all the other classes, like, couldn't care less about. And I loved the teachers, and I actually had really amazing teachers growing up, but I would get such ADD, and sitting in a classroom for me was actually torture. So I would skip classes all the time. I was always wanting to be outside, always wanting to you know, go explore. And I just didn't find that sitting in a classroom with these bright fake lights and having pressure of a teacher calling on me and maybe not knowing the answer and getting anxiety over it. It just stressed me out. So once I got a car when I was 16, I was like, well, I'm out. So I would just skip a bunch of classes. And then I'm kind of a prankster. I feel like a lot of people don't know that about me, but I love playing pranks on people. And I remember I was in 10th grade and it was the senior prank day. I was not a senior and nor did I know any seniors at the time. And I was like, well, I want to pull a prank. This seems fun. So me and one of my girlfriends, we thought it'd be really funny to go to Petco, buy 1,000 crickets and go into the girls' locker room on the prank day and let all the crickets out and watch all the girls scream and freak out. So,
wow.
And I was thrown under the bus for that one. And they were just like, listen, you skip class all the time. You know, the teachers love you. Like you're great. You have so much potential, but you just clearly don't want to be here and you're not taking this seriously. So that's it. That's a wrap for you. And I was like, no, like my parents are going to be so upset. You know, I can't, like, I was always taught that I had to go to school and do good. So I was really nervous, like with what was next for me, but I found out that I could enroll into a community college, which I did. And again, I was just like, no, like I really just don't excel in school. It's just not for me.
So interesting to learn that at such a young age. I don't think I've ever heard anybody have this story. This is awesome. What did your parents say? What did your parents say? Because that's like the ultimate, like, you know, that's like such a huge part of it, right? That whole like people pleaser, I want to be good to my parents, I want to do the right thing. Like, how did that kind of segue into that?
My parents were definitely upset. Like they were like, you were going to be the first one in our family to graduate from college. You know, my grandparents immigrated from Italy. So they were always like, as the oldest sibling, like you're the one that's supposed to do all the right things. So I definitely felt a little bit of like embarrassment and like guilt around like not fulfilling that. But after I like sat down and talked with them, they were very supportive. They were basically, they said to me, they're like, listen, if you're going to live under our roof, like you have to get to work then. So It either you go to school and figure it out or you get a job and figure it out. So from there, I got a job. So wild.
I was
in the mall shopping with like my $20 allowance that I had, and a Red Bull girl came up to me. Do you remember those Red Bull girls? I think they were called the Wings Team.
I definitely do. Cause I did a fair share of that in LA. So I love this. Let's go. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Cause I feel like I don't see them anymore. So I don't know if that's a thing, but like back then that was a thing. So I remember this like really pretty girl. She was wearing this Red Bull backpack and she came up to me and was like, hey, do you want a Red Bull? And I was like, yes, I do. Now I would never, but I was like, yes, I want a Red Bull. And she's like, do you want a job? I'm like,
yes. I job. Yep, I do. So
I started working for Red Bull as a Red Bull girl. And, you know, a lot of my friends were worried about me. They were all, you know, going into college and getting ready to move, you know, to study abroad or do whatever they were doing. And I'm like, oh, I'm just a Red Bull girl, you know, in the Hudson Valley, figuring it out. But what I was actually doing was, all the contacts that I was making, you know, we would go to concerts and we would go to college parties. And I started to meet a lot of different musicians and artists and creatives that way. And once I started my makeup career, I just utilized those contacts that I had and was like, hey, not a Red Bull girl anymore, shifting into makeup. Let me know if you want me to do your makeup. I'll do it for free just to build my portfolio.
Yes. Okay. I love this so much because I did a lot of the same kind of, I don't know what you call it. Do you call it like a trade show work? Do you call it, cause like you would call it like a red, but like I was a Patron girl. Like I was a Snapple. No, literally Patron was lit in LA. That was like a whole, that could be like a whole nother thing, but I did like Nantucket Nectars tastings in Newport. But what it teach you is these like unparalleled transferable skills of how to have conversations and talk to people and connect with people, which by the way, is like literally a currency in itself now, considering we live in an age where people can even look each other in the eye, but like can have a full 30-minute conversation with you in the DMs. You know what I'm saying? Like these are the type of skills that are literally, you can't even put a price on.
Absolutely. I feel like that time period in my life taught me to connect with people, taught me how to communicate with people, taught me how to like start of negotiation and just really being involved with so many different types of people and going to new places. And I think that's such an important skill, learning social skills and learning how to actually communicate with people. I mean, that's half my job now.
1,000%. So how did then you jump into makeup? Were you just interested in it? Did you go to school for it? Is there a makeup school that you went to? Is there, or are you just like, you start doing it and then you were doing it, obviously offering it for free, building your portfolio. What did like the first steps of that kind of look like for you?
So let me think, let's see. Okay. So I ended up going to a cosmetology school near me. I was like, you know, I really think I want to be in the beauty industry. I think I mentioned to you before that, you know, I was always interested in art, always interested in beauty, wanted to work for myself. So I'm like, all right, I guess this is where, when people decide to go to cosmetology school, let me do that. So they didn't really touch up on makeup. Maybe it was like a week of makeup. And I mean, we were like dabbing cream with Q-tips on someone's face. Like it was not actual makeup school, I would say. After that, I started to assist in salons until I started to work in salons for maybe a year to 2 years. And I quickly realized like, this is not for me. I don't want to be in the same location every single day. Again, it started to give me that anxiety. And I just feel like I have a little bit too much ADD to be in one place all the time doing the same thing over and over. So that's where I went back to the drawing board and had to figure out what am I going to do? Like I need to figure out a game plan and a goal for myself to be able to get out there and still do what I love, which I decided at that point was more so the makeup side and not so much the hair. Even though I do feel that it is good for people to know both hair and makeup that are in the industry, because you just never know when you're going to have to do both or like help out with something. I've had to do that many times. So from there, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to reach out to the contacts that I made at Red Bull or, you know, whatever brides that I had inquired with me at the salon, which back then it was a very different bridal experience than it is now. Totally. Back then we used to have just the bride and her mom come into the salon and get their hair and makeup done and leave. Now it's completely different. You go to the venue. I mean, you just got married, so you know, but you know, it's, you do trials and like, it's really fascinating to see how it has shifted and transformed in the last 12 years. So then I started to assist people in New York City. I would find them, and this was MySpace days. So I would find them on MySpace, or if I would take a makeup class somewhere for $30, I would contact the people that were hosting the classes and basically just say, hey, listen, I'm willing to assist. I'll work for free. I live upstate New York, but I'm willing to come down to the city and just give you an extra pair of hands and learn from you and do whatever you need. So from there, I gained a bunch of mentors and I started working. And I worked for a long time sometimes it was less than $50 a day, if that. And I was just so focused on building my portfolio and gaining connections and learning the ropes of things and taking a little piece of everyone to really figure out what my own identity was and my own style of makeup and what I liked and what I didn't like. And then just going from there.
I love that. It's such an ode to grit and like what you were willing to do to really make the dream come true, which I think is such an amazing quality. And you, I just feel like that level of commitment to a craft, I don't see as much anymore. I think it's like a thing of the past. Like, oh, well, if I'm not having the best time or if I don't love it, then I have to dip. I feel like that's such a trend right now. And I think that having grit and having to go through this almost like, I don't want to say like earn your stripes, but I don't really know what else to describe it as. Like there's definitely this level of true work and grit that needs to happen, I think, to push you to the other side, to know that you really, not only do you really want it, but also to get you to like this next level.
Absolutely. I also agree with you. I don't see it as much anymore. I really do think I don't know if it's social media or what it is, but, and I don't want to knock any, you know, of the youngsters down, but I don't see as much grind and hustle as I did when that was my age. Like I was really willing to do whatever it took just to make the connections and just to build up my resume and paint the faces that I needed to paint, to put in my portfolio book, which I would get printed out at Staples and carry with me to other, you know, clients that were inquiring to show them my work. And it's just such a different world now. You know, people don't want to show up or they show up late, and, you know, they're not willing to do the trade, or it is different. I notice, you know, there's a few gems out there. But I do notice from my personal experience that it's been a little of a, yeah, it, they don't work as hard.
I mean, I don't hear these, like, I love these gritty stories because they're really paint a picture of like what it took to get to where you are. Cause I think everybody is obsessed with overnight success and like, oh, it you just showed up and it just happened. And they don't see these like years of like, they don't see the picture of you as a Red Bull girl on your Instagram. You know, like these are like the like real stories I love so much. Cause like, I find it so helpful through stories like this, that people are like, oh, like, that's what it takes. Oh, I'm not crazy in having to do this stuff. I hear I am sitting thinking I'm doing all these things and it's not going to amount to anything. And then you hear stories like this and you're like, hell yeah, I'm really doing it. I'm on the right path.
And this, I mean, where I'm at now in my career, I mean, this really was like years and years of hustle and grind and so much work behind the scenes that you don't see on Instagram, that you don't see on social media. It takes a long time, and a lot of people can very easily look at someone's portfolio book or their social media and just see their highlights and think, wow, they're so lucky, or wow, like their career really is great. And a lot of the times people, you don't see the hard work and the years of grind and build that it took to get there.
Exactly. I love this so much. That's so good. Okay. So my mom's a hairstylist and I know the makeup world and the hair world a lot. So this is so awesome. And so you were assisting, and I know you, it's like you kind of are someone's assistant and then you have different mentors and then you kind of work your way up and then you start to build your own book. So where did that kind of diving board moment happen where you're kind of like doing, I always think of double Dutch, you know, with the two jump ropes where you're like leaning in, leaning out, leaning in, leaning out. When did that official like lean in of like, I'm going to do this on my own? Cause like you, of course you were probably doing multiple gigs on your own, but then working for like quote unquote the big wigs and assisting them maybe at Fashion Week or whatever it was at the time. When did that like real flip-flop moment kind of happen to you where you were like, holy shit, is this a thing or is this happening? And what did that look like?
So I remember specifically the first memory that pops up for me is I was heavily assisting an artist. Her name is Megan Hester, and she is a very talented makeup artist. She's now in LA. At the time, I was doing a lot of assistant work for her, and I was really just kind of there whenever she needed and just really learning from her. And once she moved to LA, she was like, listen, like I need my clients to feel comfortable and I need them to feel trusted. I need someone that's reliable, who's going to do a good job, but also show up. And that person is you, and you work towards it. So she, I can definitely thank her for allowing me to step in with some of her clients in New York when she made that move to LA. And from there, I feel like, you know, it's also just the connections that I made when I was working for Red Bull and just, you know, sending an email or a text message out to them and saying like, hey, like I'm building up my makeup career. I loved working with you, you know, at the Red Bull event or whatever it was, wherever I met them at a party or something. If you ever need men's grooming, if you ever need makeup, like I am willing to work and just build that relationship. And that's exactly kind of where it happened was I stopped assisting and kind of just started taking on these jobs and really learning as I went. I feel like it, you know, you learn a lot along the way. And from there, it was just one person would lead to the next person. And then that would lead to another opportunity. And there was also a lot of no's along the way too. Like I had to get very comfortable with rejection, but I firmly believe that rejection is some sort of protection. And as long as you continue to work hard, you will always have a new opportunity presented to you when the timing is right. So that's, yeah, that's kind of how I went from assisting to stepping into my own.
Heck yes. Ah, so good. What were some of the craziest like reach outs that you had from Red Bull that then you booked and you were like, oh my gosh, this is next level?
LMFAO, that was one.
I can't even imagine that because I feel like that was probably insane.
And that was around the time that they were, you know, big, the shots, like all the fun music was coming out. And I remember, yeah, like I remember working with them, exchanging contacts with, I don't remember if it was someone from the group or one of their agents. And once I started doing makeup, I was like, hey, like I'm doing this if you guys are ever around. And they're like, oh, we have a, you know, a show in the Hudson Valley. Like, why don't you just come and you could like touch us up with some powder? Great. I'll do it. And then they also were booked at Music Choice. And at the time I was covering jobs over at Music Choice. So like reconnected with them there. And I also would always like to my own clothes. This was like early on in high school. And I would do these like community fashion shows for the town. And I would always just raise charity or money for charity, I should say. And a lot of reality TV stars were drawn to the clothes that I was making. So I also used those contacts that I made clothes for to also reach out to them and say, hey, listen, like I'm doing makeup now and would love to, you know, collaborate or whatever the case may be. And yeah, that's how I just started building it.
Ugh, so good. For anyone listening that is in their season of like doing a gajillion, I always say it's like you could send 100 emails and maybe hear back from maybe 10 people. Like it's such a numbers game. Can you just solidify that for anyone listening that might be in their like grind season where they're just feel like they can't get that breakthrough? Like, so they know whether or not or no, like what are the, you know, you, how many emails did you have to send before you ever got the answer? You know what I mean?
Oh, so many, so many. Even still to this day, I will constantly be reaching out to, you know, people on Instagram. I'll slide right into their DMs. Hey, when you're in New York, I want to do your makeup. Sometimes they never see it. You know, it's just maybe just sitting in their inbox somewhere. And I will constantly reach out to beauty PR firms and different kinds of beauty brands, whether they want to do a partnership or they're interested in like sponsoring my kit. And I do hear yeses now, and sometimes no response, but I've gotten very comfortable with the no responses where it doesn't affect me. And I just firmly believe whatever is going to happen is going to happen. As long as I just, you know, keep my head down and keep doing the work and hitting my goals, like it, the opportunities are going to come. And I think it's really important to get comfortable with not always receiving those yeses. I think it's an important tool for business as well as not always getting what you want. And it really teaches you that grit to like, no, you have to work hard. You have to put yourself out there and get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that is a step that's going to allow you to grow as a business owner, as you know, like how hard do you really want it? Keep pushing, keep going.
Yes. So you're doing all these things, you're working on different people, you're reaching out to old clients. It's all starting to build momentum. When did it all intersect for you? Because I know that Gabby Bernstein is a client of yours. Were you a Gabby fan? I always like say this, and which is like kind of, I always feel like a little off because Gabby, like, you know who she is, but I feel like Gabby Bernstein really, she is for me like the gateway drug into personal development, all things, which I feel like that's kind of like almost messed up to say giving her story, but like it kind of is like she blew my mind open to everything. So were you like super into wellness and all that? Was that always a part of who you were, and then you decided to bring it into the makeup and, you know, all that? Or how did that happen?
So I would say I started to, I guess, awaken to spirituality when The Secret came out, which I don't remember what year that was, but I know it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I remember watching The Secret and really being captivated by what is this manifestation? What, and no one talked about this, you know, 10 plus years ago.
Nope.
And I was like, what the heck is manifesting? And I watched The Secret 100 times. I like bought the book. I watched it on DVD over and over until I started to make the vision boards and really like just get curious about manifesting and learning like how to create like a flow of abundance in your life and how to manifest. So through that, I think I was introduced to Gabby's books at the time. Again, this is going back a long time ago. So I did read her books, and it's funny because I was like, oh, I would love to manifest her as a client one day, like putting that out there into the ether. And I would say I started to really dive deep into wellness when I was 25, my father, unfortunately, he passed away unexpectedly, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't wrap my brain around, you know, he had a massive stroke, but I thought he was like, quote unquote, a healthy guy. You know, I was like, I don't get it. So I really started to dig deep into wellness and what it means to really take care of ourselves. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I should be sleeping more. And I can't tell you, I live in about an hour and a half north of Manhattan. So there's so many times where I was driving into the city, just overworked, exhausted, not eating proper foods. I was feeling sluggish. I almost fell asleep driving many, many times. It was so dangerous. And I didn't realize the importance of taking care of myself because I was so focused on like, yay, like this is work, this is fun. You know, I'm doing the grind, I'm doing the hustle, but I wasn't taking care of myself. So once my father passed away is really when I was like, okay, let me learn about sleep. And then I dug deep into sleep and how important it is to get an adequate amount of rest and how our bodies are recovering and repairing when we're sleeping. Then I was like, let me learn about water. You know, my dog died from lung cancer. And I was like, how? No one smokes. Like, I didn't understand what that is. Let me get my water tested. Turns out there was contaminants in my water, which I had no idea about. Like, who teaches you these things? I don't know. So then I, you know, started diving deep into water filters, and now I get the Mountain Valley spring water, like the what is it? What are they called?
Bubbler thing delivered.
Yeah. I get the gallon
upside down thing.
Yeah. Dispensers, is that what they're called?
Yeah, maybe.
So then I started to like learn the importance of clean water. And I was like, oh, well, now I should probably focus on nutrition. It shouldn't just be, you know, fast food and Red Bull anymore. Let me learn about like junk oils. Like, what does this even mean? And then I went down the whole rabbit hole of how bad seed oils and canola and sunflower oils are and how they're in everything. And it's also hard when you're on set. A lot of the food is not, I mean, it's gotten better throughout the years, but you know, I would
it's
be on
really
set.
Hard, really hard.
Yeah, where people are just ordering pizza and they have Doritos out and sodas. And I was just eating it because that's what you do when you're hungry and you're on set and that's your only option. So I had to learn to meal prep. And, you know, I look into programs like Daily Harvest or Saqqara and different kind of programs that would help me just hold myself accountable when it came to nutrition. So then from there, I was like, wow, you know, I'm sleeping, I'm eating better, I'm drinking better water. I got the shower filters. I got the air quality filters. I keep my windows open. I let a lot of toxic products that were in my house go. Like, I don't use candles or artificial fragrance anymore. I got rid of the bleach and switched over to, I mean, even I think at the time I was just using like water and like apple cider vinegar and lemon or something. So I started to shift my overall wellness routines, and I realized how good I felt. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how bad I felt before because I didn't know it was possible to feel this good. So I started to get a sense of clarity. And I also always had autoimmune conditions as well. And my autoimmune conditions started to clear up. I had psoriasis so bad growing up, so bad. My skin was red, dry, inflamed, itchy all the time. I had, there's an arthritis that's attached to the psoriasis. So like I was always in having joint pain and stiffness. And once I started to make these little lifestyle changes in a 360 holistic approach is when I realized like, wow, my skin is glowing. Like my psoriasis is gone. Like I'm not getting these pains anymore. So that's when I started to learn even deeper about infrared saunas and red light therapy. And I was like, wow, how can I implement this into the world of beauty as well? Yeah. So now I'm on a mission. I'm like, I want everyone to feel their best. I want everyone. Yeah. I like everyone needs this. So now I do the red light therapy. I've been doing this for a few years now, but I do red light therapy before on my clients before I even start their makeup. And you know, sometimes I'll bring some Mountain Valley water, like a little extra one for them to drink. And I'm like, I want to get you as like hydrated and feeling as good as possible before we even start your makeup application. Because now I feel like I'm on a mission just to really help everyone feel so good about themselves, not just on the outside, but on the inside too.
I mean, one of my favorite things, it's like literally the first quote on your website is I want every woman to feel confident and elevated. Beauty isn't just the face. It's a vibration and energy that I aim for all my clients to feel. I mean, that's amazing.
100%. And I really feel like once you implement these routines, once you like you got to kind of figure it out, right? Like what works best for you? It's going to look different for everyone. You know, maybe it's just cutting out soda. I don't know. Like everyone is different. So it really is so different for every person. But, you know, I felt like once I started implementing all the wellness things, once I started to really focus on manifesting and vision boarding and then really performing my best in the makeup world, because now I'm getting the proper amount of sleep and I'm not high off candy and sugar and Red Bull and soda. No knock to Red Bull, but, I started to realize like, wow, more opportunities are coming my way. I'm even able to accomplish more. And I feel like some of these things I've been manifesting are just coming along my way. And, you know, little by little, there was just a lot of synchronicities that were happening and alignments that were taking place. And I mean, it eventually led me to some of the most amazing people that I'm working with now. And even still, sometimes I'm like pinching myself when I see someone like Marie Forleo calling my phone. And I was like, is this the Marie Forleo? Is she calling my phone right now? I just like, yeah. I just reading her book, you know, Everything is Figure Outable. That's so cool. And it's just these little like kisses from the universe that you're on the right path. And I really do feel that it's a complete holistic 360 approach, right? When you're taking care of your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health, and also having a supportive community around you too. I think that's really important.
Oh, so good. Kisses from the universe. What? Chef's kiss to that. I love that. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Such good stuff. I talk about routines so, so much because I love my routine more than anything. And you know, it's so timely. We went to like a big wedding this weekend and we were drinking and eating things. And just, I was so thrown off my routine. I didn't even bring my gratitude practice with me, which is like so crazy of me. And I was just talking about how important it is. And when you know how good you can feel, it's so challenging to compromise anything that goes against that routine. So for you, what are some non-negotiables in your routine? What is your daily routine? Do you have like a little morning routine? Do you have a nighttime routine? What does that look like for you?
Oh, honey, do I have routines?
You're like, girl, do you have time? Do you have time?
For me, again, I know it looks different for everyone, right? Like, I don't have kids yet. I totally understand that, like, for moms, it's different. Maybe for someone working in an office, it's different. But what works for me right now, currently in my life, is I like to wake up an hour and a half earlier than whatever time I need to leave the house. Yeah. And that 90 minutes, I'm able to get up. I do my little tongue scraping. I do my oil swishing. While I'm doing that, I start jumping on my trampoline. When I'm done with that, I'll go for like a quick little walk around my neighborhood. I do 10 minutes of red light while I'm meditating. I know this is like a lot for some people. They're like,
no, I love this. Keep going.
This is a lot. But like, I also feel like because of my ADD and because I really need to perform my best and be grounded with whatever I have going on that day, it's always different. I need to be grounded for my clients and I need to be grounded for myself. So doing those little things of getting that movement in, doing a little like a skincare routine, of course. You know, I gotta make sure my face is glowing, you know? So I like to do the gua sha, I like to do my ice roller. And from there I have that 90 minutes of me time. And then I have my hour to 2 hour drive into the city where I just listen to podcasts or audiobooks, or sometimes I'll take a call from the car on speakerphone. But I use that entire time for Alex time. So that really sets the tone for my day. And then my day can begin the moment I walk on set, the moment I walk into a client's home, I am able to perform my best and I feel awake, I feel alert, and ready to go. And then once I come home, I would say my nighttime routine is not as extravagant or long, but I do have the blackout curtains and I have a hatch alarm, which wakes me up with the light instead of an annoying noise. and then, yeah, I try to put my phone away before bed. Like maybe, I know people say to do it like 2 hours before bed. For me, realistically, it's like 30 minutes before bed. I always try to turn everything on airplane mode or do not disturb. But yeah, that's my nighttime routine.
All these are all such good things. What are some of your favorite podcasts you listen to on the way into the city?
So I love The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes. I really enjoy listening to health podcasts. I like Heal Thyself with Dr. G, and I like Dr. Mark Hyman's show a lot. I enjoy those. I have recently been getting into Andrew Huberman. I listen to Gary Vee. And you know who I've been loving lately? This is like where the history part comes in.
Uh-huh.
The Bowery Boys. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh my God. Someone told me to listen to them. They're like, if you like history and you love New York, you got to listen to the Bowery Boys. So I've been listening to their podcast from like back in 2015, but they talk about all the history that took place in New York and the Hudson Valley. So I just find it so entertaining and fascinating. And I want to know everything. I want to know how Central Park was created and, you know, why did they name the river Henry Hudson? You know, like I want to know every real specific detail about it. So I've been on a Bowery Boy kick lately.
Oh, so good. I'm sure all my New York kids are going to be like, yes.
Yes.
Give it to us. What is a product you're obsessed with that everyone should own in the beauty space, or something that you feel like is gatekept that you want to be like, you need to own this?
Okay, so I really love the Skinny Confidential ice roller.
Okay. It lives up to the hype. It lives up to the hype.
It lives up to the hype. I feel like I want to wake up in the morning and feel that cold on my face. And I really do feel like it helps me depuff in the morning and just wake me up. And it takes less than a minute. So that I think everyone should have. I love it. And then I love for product line, I'm like a diehard Paula's Choice lover. I love their skincare products.
Perfect. I love all this. This is so juicy. Yes. If you went to a conference and you were like the lead makeup artist, you did everybody's makeup, and when everybody left, they got like a goodie bag and you had to put one book in it that you feel like really influenced your life or changed your thinking, what do you feel like it would be?
What I would say is Discipline is Destiny by Ryan Holiday.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that's a good read. If you like stoicism, if you want to be more disciplined, you can apply something like that to any area of your life. So I feel like that's a good one.
So good. If you could, I'm going to change these questions a little bit up for you because of what you do. If you could do or get a call today to do anybody's makeup in the world, that you would be like, so, oh my gosh, I can't even handle this. Who do you think it would be?
Most likely Lady Gaga.
Wait, I feel like that's really feasible for you. You're manifesting this.
Oh my God. I would be so happy. I mean, I know she is tight with her makeup artist, so the chances of that happening, but I've learned to never say never, keep manifesting, just put it out there, you know, just put it out there. But yeah, if I got a call from Lady Gaga's team, that would be like, okay, I'm done. I could do this and that's it. Retire. I'm good.
Yeah, like I'm good. So it's funny because I feel that about Ashlyn Harris. Like if I could raid her wardrobe, stalk her life. So it's so funny and it's just hilarious. Actually, the one time my friend Ryan came on my podcast and he's a Soul Cycle instructor in Chicago. And like the one time I feel like he saw me get actual, and I used to like obviously work in Hollywood with a lot of crazy people. And the one time I actually like stumbled over my words and felt like I was like in awe was actually with Abby Wambach. And like, so US women's soccer team is huge. And I feel like you work with all the US women's soccer girls. So it's like insane. Yes. So cool.
Working with the athletes, that has been so motivating and inspiring. I honestly, like every single soccer player or athlete, especially the women's athlete that I work with, they are all not only gorgeous, but like the most beautiful people inside and out and dedicated. I have never seen dedication like that. And it just inspires me and motivates me. And I'm like, if these girls could do this and then come home to their families and like accomplish so many things, oh, we can all do it. We could do it. Like they give us so much inspiration and motivation. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I love that. And I think that's cool that your clients also elevate you to another level, because I do believe everybody, you know, you are the summation of the five people you surround yourself with. So I feel like you're surrounding yourself with some pretty dope people in that area. If you could have dinner with anybody, time, space, past, present, who would it be?
Albert Einstein. I would say, yeah, I think I would. I've read a lot of Albert Einstein's books, and I just think he's the most fascinating human. And I would love to have a dinner with Albert Einstein.
That is the most interesting answer I think I've ever gotten. I actually thought you were kidding for a second, and that is so cool.
No, I was like, for a long
time. You're like, no, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, no, I'm really serious. It's so funny. I like read a book. I think it was called What Einstein Told His Barber and How to Think Like Einstein. Like I had like a whole phase with Einstein, and I was like, he really is the most fascinating person. I mean, yeah, I can go on about this. So I'll let whoever's listening, if they want to read those books, they can go for it. If they want to DM me and chat with me about Albert Einstein, I'm so down.
Yeah. So you're down for that. That's a really good thing to remember. Just like slide into the DMs about Albert Einstein, or put that in your caption or your heading of your email. There you go. Instant read.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I love this so much. Well, I want to give you the full floor to plug yourself, where people can find you, how they can book you if they're in New York City, all that stuff. I know Fashion Week's coming up. There's a lot of big things going on in the city for the fall. So any and all things.
Full totally. Plug. So everyone can find me on Instagram. It's at Alex Gill, AlexGill. And if anyone is visiting Beacon in the Hudson Valley, I do have a wellness center, soon to be a beauty and wellness center. And that is called My Zen Den. And you can find us online at myzendenbeacon.com. And yeah, that's, if anyone ever wants to book me, I would say the best way is to reach out to my email address, which is right linked into my Instagram bio.
Amazing. Well, I am so happy you came on the podcast today. It was such a great conversation and it's been so much fun.
So much fun. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And that concludes this week's episode of the podcast, y'all. Be sure to check out Alexandria in the show notes. And until next week, may you always be joyful, loving, and above all else, fearless.